Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with my friend and colleague, Dr. Dave Stoop, and my good friend, Bill Moss. And you can join us on the program, 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. It's a great day for New Life, so come be part of that program. 1-800-229-3000.
Before I ask my question, I first want to say how much I appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
You know something, I failed as a husband.
I had a question, if I could, please.
Okay.
The rest of it, I just felt like I was kind of getting shined on. So now I get it.
I want to know about your dad, what he was like.
He was an angry person.
That's a big part of your anger.
I think having you be a little bit more involved says, I'm a woman and you're doing this to women. This is going to affect your relationship with women. And so for him to feel what that's like in the presence of a woman, I think is important.
Yeah, that was good, Jill.
People with addictive personalities are like boa constrictors.
Well, I just asked, did you play with dynamite when you were a child?
No.
Because this is playing with dynamite. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with my good friend and colleague, Dr. Dave Stoop.
Good to see you, Stephen.
Dave, when I see you, I am reminded that we are writing the Life Recovery book to accompany the Life Recovery Bible, and we need people's stories, their testimonies.
We sure do.
And they can just send them to newlife.com or sarterburn@newlife.com, and we would like to consider your story for use in the Life Recovery book. Joining us today is Bill Moss. Bill, good to see you.
Thank you, Steve.
Bill is the author of Finding Inner Peace During Troubled Times, a wonderful, wonderful book, a great book for meditation. And we're going to talk about that in hour number two today and three. So after this live program, we're going to tape two shows, and we're going to focus on addiction on those two shows. So if you have an addiction question or an addiction problem, call us and in the next hour and the hour after that, and we're going to focus on that. One of the things that that has come out of my friendship with Bill is that you sent me a copy of the original manuscript, a copy of the original manuscript of the big book that Bill Wilson wrote. And one of the things that my wife and I were so fascinated by is that all through the book, the manuscript, is the word you, like you need to do this or you may, and all throughout the book it's crossed out and replaced with the word we. And I just think that's a major thing for us to all remember, that we're all in this together and we're all fellow strugglers. And there's no you, it's us, it's we. We're all.
Well, one of the facets of that is that it's a family disease. It's not just a problem for the person with the addiction.
Right.
Because everybody contributes to the problem.
Yeah.
And that was a fascinating discovery for me when we were in starting recovery with what went on with our son. And this young man says, you know, you're not here because your son has a problem. You're here because you got a problem.
Ooh, yeah.
And he was right on, and we had to learn that.
And in one way, your son really didn't have a problem. You had it. You know, he was getting meals and transportation.
Yeah.
I love it when people will say, well, I think maybe you've got the bigger problem because he's doing pretty well for himself.
You got it pretty made.
Yeah. Well, Bill, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you very much. You know, the word we and recovery also includes God.
Yeah.
And so it is an all-encompassing program.
It really is.
And it's just a wonderful program. It's been very, very helpful to me.
Yeah. Well, as we said before, Bill began his recovery journey at 85, and we just love that. Mm. It's never too late, people. And so anyway, if you have a question about addiction, next hour and then one after that, we'd love for you to call us. We're going to start doing some Focus Fridays, and we're taping these shows for Fridays. And they'll be on addiction. But right now, you can call us, 1-800-229-3000, about anything you want to talk about, and we'll talk to you. 1-800-229-3000. That's the number. Glad you're with us today here on New Life Live. We'll be back after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433. Or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Bill Moss, Dr. Dave Stoop. We're going to go to the phones right now. And we're going to talk with John from Ellicott, Maryland, listens on WAVA. Hello, John. Welcome to New Life.
All right. How are you?
Doing quite well. Thank you, sir. And how could we help you today?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out. I've been dating a lady for about 15 months.
Okay.
And we broke up for 2 or 3 months. And I'm just trying to figure out why I have a lot of anger towards her and why I push her away continually. I'm currently seeing a counselor through New Life.
Mm-hmm.
Have been for a while, and we're working on different issues, but I'm really looking for an answer, and it could be many answers.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
Go ahead. So I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, I would ask a kind of an obvious question just to start off with, and that is, do you think you could figure out whether or not she represents another person that you've got some lasting anger with, or does she reflect an unresolved conflict that you've had all your life with someone? So
okay.
If you started there, where
someone,
would you end up?
Someone like his mother? Is that
just off top of my head, the mother might be the exact person. Well, what do you think about that? Is there anything in your history that could cause little things to be bigger?
Okay, well, I'll go a little bit more personal, I guess. This is probably my second girlfriend out of, I wouldn't say many, but... you know, probably 6 to 8 girlfriends, maybe more, that I've not been intimate with, and usually I am intimate with the girl. So this is one that she has chosen, so I have chosen to remain pure through that. So I find myself lusting a lot after other women, but I know that's a separate issue in itself, and I'm involved in, I've been through EMB. I went through that back in 01 with Joe Dallas, and she kind of represents my father in some ways. And
how's that? Tell us how she represents your dad.
Well, it's interesting. I'm a perfectionist. She's a perfectionist. That's one of my character traits, or character defaults, should I say? And represents my father in very. She seems to be very critical of certain things. Although she's aware of her criticalness, she says that she has some issues around that. But some of those ways I see her acting like my father. My father was a rager. She's not at all.
Yeah.
She's very mild-tempered, but my father was a rager. So I'm a stuffer. I stuff my feelings.
Well, let me ask Dave a question. Dave, what are you thinking here? Here's a guy that's attracted to a woman who is critical of him. He's critical of her. I mean,
Well, perfectionism is a defense against criticism, and you know, because you become your own worst critic in that thing. But I'm just wondering if there's control issues that you're struggling with her that you resent.
Well, I do. I'm 40, and I do enjoy, and this is somewhat selfish, I do enjoy doing what I want to do, when I want to do it, and how I want to do it.
Well, why are you thinking about moving forward with her then? because when you get married, you know, that probably doesn't happen quite as much as when you're single.
Sure. I don't know. I don't know if I'm want to move forward, and I don't know. I mean, it's coming to the critical time where we need to cut fish or cut bait, and I'm just really trying to figure this out. I don't want to lose her over an issue that I'm trying to work through and later come find out that it was her.
Usually, John, what you're describing is a fear of closeness, a fear of being known, and that would go along with the perfectionism, too, that being a defense. That somehow, and it may be tied to your dad's rage and lack of acceptance, and you struggle with that sense of acceptance within. And then she sets some parameters on how the relationship is going to be, and that feels very confining in some way. These are all things inside of you that I would say you need to really take a look at and understand how you know how you're protecting yourself from letting yourself get too close. And anger is a pushing away emotion in a relationship like that. And so you get close and then you push her away, and because it gets scary that you know that somehow I'm going to be known, and when I'm known, I'll be found to be flawed and unacceptable. And you can test this. Here's a way to test it. It's a pretty tough way to do it. But to actually sit down with her and say, you know, I think a lot of what's going on is in me, and what I'm afraid of is afraid of being known, because if you really knew me, you wouldn't like me. And I struggle with that. And just see what comes out of that conversation. Yeah.
And I would suggest that you, you can fish or cut bait, or you could just pull your pole back in the boat. You know, there's another alternative, and that would be taking a break from her and doing the work on you. I'm sensing that since it's your 10th anniversary for EMB, that maybe a refresher would help you a little bit.
Isn't there a refresher coming up?
There is a 2.0 for alumni that you might want to think about, or go through the other thing again. But it seems to me that these kinds of issues are worked out best with a small group of men, where you get close enough to them that their little idiosyncrasies come out, and you have to deal with that.
Sure.
Are you involved in any kind of men's group?
Yeah, I'm involved in a weekly through my church. It used to be called Celebrate Recovery. Now they've renamed it to be a more of a Christian, I guess, environment. But it's called Restoration. And I go there every Friday night when I'm in town a lot. But if I'm out of town, of course, I'm not there.
Well,
but they with sexual addiction, anxiety, fear.
Are you doing any kind of personal counseling on your own?
I'm involved with a counselor at through New Life. I found her through you guys once a week. So we're working on some EMDR. I'm on medication for anxiety.
Before this phone call, had you been talking with your counselor about the fact that this woman is similar to your father in a lot of ways?
Yes.
Okay.
And that's what we're working on.
Good.
I guess that I know this is such a generic, unanswerable question, but I mean, I question whether. First of all, what is love? Number two is, do I love her, and do I feel like she is a good match for me?
Well, I got to tell you, if I was your personal counselor and I got to this point and you guys were so critical of each other and having such a hard time being together, I would probably be erring on the side of walk away versus work out your problems together. You're 40 years old, and at 40, you need to be able to pick people that are easy to be with. Now, you know, a lot of people wouldn't say that's their number one criteria for marriage, but Dave, I don't know.
It gets to be slim pickings when you're 40 and looking at for somebody else. But have you been married before, John?
Never been married. No, she, nor has she. We don't have any kids with each other, without each other.
Well, just because you're the only people that have never been married before doesn't mean that you're right for each other. Okay?
Well, there's got to be a lot of fears that say, you know, do I want to give up my independence?
Right.
And that's a lot of what goes on.
Well, I'm going to send him walking into walls because here are the five ones: stubborn resistance, arrogant entitlement, justifiable resentment, disconnected isolation, and blind ignorance. They're all right here, and I've got three reviews already on Amazon, and they're all five-star reviews of this book. So I hope that you'll like it.
I haven't done mine. You gave me, you paid me to do it, but
yeah,
I forgot to
do it.
Yeah,
I'll pay you more if you'll go on to Amazon and do a review of the book if you've read it. Walking into Walls, Five Blind Spots That Block God's Work in You, and I hope that you'll continue to do the work that you've started there. Let's go to Berta. Berta is calling us from NRB Network. That's what she watches from Temecula, California. And hello there.
Hello.
Hi, Roberta. What's going on?
Well, I want to get right to the point. I'm Native American, and I live on my reservation here near Temecula.
Okay. Mm.
And I'm a Christian. I've been a Christian for many years. And I've had a burden for my native people for years, and actually a lot of them are becoming believers and have small churches and pilot churches scattered throughout Northern California, Southern. But what I've come to find out, I've been in this one church for almost a year, and it's quite a ways to get to church from church, so this one's closer, so I go there. But what I'm not understanding is no growth in the church. It's if you come, you come. If you give, you give. It's no big deal. There's no ministries going on in the church.
Wow, that's pretty crummy.
There's hard-necked, stubborn people, like the Lord says in the Bible, and they're not willing to change or let somebody else come in. It's just the pastor and the very few people in each of these churches. I've attended all of them.
Well, how could we help you with this? What's your question?
I want to know if I should stick out this burden and try to reach the women like a home Bible study, or should I just move on to a more mature church?
Well, I think it's a good idea. I think it's a good
can use me again, and I know what to do, and I know what.
Well, why don't you give that Bible study a try and see if that doesn't start something there?
Several people have asked me to do it.
Yeah, well,
try it.
Try it and see what happens. It might be the start of then a men's Bible study that somebody might take on, and you might see. But, you know, I don't know of churches that are doing much these days that going to church is what you do there. You know, if you're a church with small groups and ministries of small groups of people ministering to each other, then I think you've got great potential. But if all it is going on Sunday and hearing somebody preach, and usually that's not all that great an experience, it's probably going to be dead. So, you know, maybe you're the first small group that started there, and that would be with women.
But I'd stick with the church you're in and let the pastor know what you're doing and try to tie in what happens in your Bible study with that church, because that can be what brings some new life to that church.
I was just on the plane over. I was reading in Jude about how we are encouraged to build each other up in the faith. And I don't know that sitting in a pew listening to a pastor preach is building each other up in the faith. It's kind of putting each other to sleep in reality there. So
really, because we don't have any fellowship time during the week at all, contact until that Sunday comes.
Well, I think you ought to read the book of Jude. Read the book of Jude.
Get that Bible study going.
Yeah, and I think you're on the right track. Don't bail out on them. You may be the only healthy person in the whole place. Okay?
Maybe, but it's just very confusing because they're hungry. There are people that are hungry.
Right.
Who want a stable pastor, shepherd.
Yeah.
To lead them, but they're so unstable.
Yeah.
That they fill up and then they
okay.
drop down.
Well, I understand that, but I think we've given you some direction there that will help you, and I hope you'll help them. And just to that end, let me send you Healing is a Choice with the study guide in the back there, and maybe that'll be your first material for a women's Bible study. And that's available to anybody. We have all sorts of groups and group material here. And you can call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask to speak to our group person. And Ryan is the guy. And you can talk with him directly, and maybe he can help you start a group in your church. All right, I want to go back to something John said, and we'll talk about it after this break. But he said, my character default. And, you know, I think he meant defect, but he makes a really good point with that.
Point, yeah.
Yeah, and so we'll talk about character defects and defaults. Right after this. You're listening to New Life Live, and our phone number, join us right here, 1-800-229-3000. Our gift to you is a New Life perspective on tough conversations.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of, the man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back, and maybe Roberta's call would be motivation to you to start a group in your church. We hope so, because, you know, and I was just talking with our pastor about our church. We had somebody come in and say, you know, your church isn't a church with groups. It's a church of groups.
Hmm.
Big difference there. It's
yeah.
what makes our church what it is. But, Bill, this thing where I think he kind of slipped there, John, and he said character defaults rather than defects. But it really is, our defects are kind of our defaults. We revert back to them so mm-hmm. Easily if we don't have the support of other people around us.
You know, the character defects, I guess as we go through some of the steps in AA,
mm-hmm.
one of the things that we talk about most are character defects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had never thought of it in terms of character defaults, but it is a fault.
Mm-hmm.
A defect is a fault.
Yeah.
And I know that resentments come from character defects and
yes.
character defaults. And I once asked a fellow that's very knowledgeable about character defects, and he said it's a chronic state of anger. So somebody that has these character defects or defaults, I don't know that there's a lot of difference. I think it's euphonics mostly.
Mm-hmm. Well, the default is like the position we fall back on, which is the defects.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting. When you think about all the different reasons that you would be in a chronic state of anger, disappointment you might be, certainly unforgiveness of another person. Mm-hmm. What are some other...
Well, Bill mentioned the resentments. I mean, resentment's at the core of that, I think, that constant state of anger.
Well, psychologically, resentments go back, just like we were talking a moment ago, to your father, to your mother, childhood. You're the psychologist, and I'm not. But resentments build up in you as you go along. I know in my case, resentments slowed my development down as I was going through life.
Right.
And I did not face the resentments in my life and the chronic stuff in my life until I got into AA.
Yeah.
That changed my life entirely.
Yeah. Resentments are sure a good excuse to drink, I think.
They kind of drown them.
It works.
Try to, anyway.
Well, let's go to Dawn from Schenectady, New York. She listens on WJIV. Hello, Dawn. Welcome.
Hi. How are you today?
Doing fine. How could we help you?
Well, I've been married for 23 years, and out of the 23 years I've been married, my husband has been dealing for 21 years, I know, of sexual issues.
Okay.
And he's been in and out of counseling and is currently in counseling again as of full-time weekly since February. And what I'm dealing with right now, what I know is still going on, is, I hate to be so explicit, but masturbation.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that is still going on.
Okay.
And I just would like to know, and we have been in counseling together and have had, and right now are currently, counseling together, as separately, but within the same church, and we're still married and all that. But I'm just wondering, what am I to do? I just feel like this is never going to end.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Let me ask you this, just for the information to other women. How does it, or men, how does it make you feel when you know that he's been involved with self-gratification?
I feel like he's committing adultery, cheating on me.
Yeah, and that's what we hear all the time. Have you ever said to him, I feel like you're unfaithful and cheating on me, the least you could do would be go to an Every Man's Battle workshop?
Yes, I have.
And what did he say to that?
He says we can't afford it.
Well,
it's cheaper than a divorce.
Yeah, that would be a good thing to say. It's cheaper than a divorce, and it is effective, and it's just as, you're going to go to counseling and spend a lot of money, and it's really a bargain when you look at the result that happens with so many people. So I would say to him, well, if we can't afford it, then I'm going to do without some things so that we can, and I will save the money so that you can afford it. But what I'd really like you to do is just go.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You find some ways for you guys to afford it and come back to him and say, here's how we can afford it, because it's killing me. You need to be honest and upfront with him and tell him.
Yes. He knows all this. He knows all this. Yeah.
Remind him about when you guys started dating, how much fun it was and how attracted you were to each other and that you were enough.
Right.
So you want to get back to that place.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry you're going through this. Anything you want to add, Dave?
No, that's right on, because it's like stealing from your wife. It's,
yeah.
You know, when you say it feels like adultery, that's so real. And
yes.
Men don't understand that. They just think, oh, that's just a personal thing. But it's not. It really has a profound effect on the wife.
The other thing is we've got Women in the Battle coming up September the 23rd, and I would hope that you would go to that. But I'll send you Walking into Walls, because your husband, he has the number one blind spot, stubborn resistance. Stubborn resistance preventing him from moving into a different level of being and existing and loving and caring about you. And I hope you'll read this, and I hope he'll read it, and it might move him and you to the next level. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come right back after this. Now, remember, we're going to be in the studio all day today at 1-800-229-3000. So call us later on if you don't have time now.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Bill Moss. Do you think we talk about every man's battle and sexual addiction too much? Well, if you could phone in the number one problem that would out-problem in incidents, sexual addiction, pornography, internet pornography, all of that, we'll switch to talking about that more. But this, we don't know of anything that affects more men, more couples, than this whole issue of lust and sexual addiction and getting involved in the internet and all of that stuff. And just like the phone call that we had, one of the people that helps us out at Every Man's Battle is Jim Phyllis. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Hey, Steve. Good to talk to you today.
Now, you know, we ask people to go to Every Man's Battle because we expect God to work over that weekend. How does God work over that weekend, as you see it?
I think the first and most important thing, Steve, is a lot of people try to deal with their lives, their own best thinking, and we just heard that a moment ago. You know, our own best thinking got us here.
Yeah.
And an opportunity for guys to be confronted in a healthy and biblical way with what real healthy thinking is all about. And they begin to realize how they've been pretending that things are all right when they're really very, very messed up. They also are challenged in their thinking about God and what, you know, God's forgiveness really does in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
They stop pretending that the reason that they have problems is everybody else's fault. They start getting honest about the way that they're contributing to the mess of their lives.
Well, let's just stop right there. Don't you think addiction and pretending are brother and sister?
Hand in hand. Exactly.
Yeah. And there's so many people acting like it's not that serious a problem. Here we just heard a woman say it feels like adultery every time. And so you can't pretend that away. Jim, if somebody's thinking about going, what do you say?
I say come. It's the safest place on earth for a man to be a man and struggle with sexual temptation and sexual impurity.
Mm-hmm.
It's just this place to be honest about those struggles you're meeting other men. I think this is the other thing, Steve, is guys have this idea that there's nobody in the world that will understand what I'm dealing with, nobody else that I can talk to, and they get into the doors of this safe environment, and all of a sudden they're amazed at how similar the stories are and how easy it is to enlist support and be a support to one another.
Right. Well, I hope and pray that if you're listening, that you just might call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Jim, thank you for all you do, and thanks for sharing with us. And I hope some people will decide, because it's this weekend. It's the 9th of September is when the next one is. And, you know, Every Man's Battle Weekend, it's like the microwave of therapy. you in a weekend, you do many times what you might do in 6 months or so somewhere else.
Or a year,
like a because you've got all these guys, everybody's focused.
It's intense.
So give it a shot. I'm telling you, it can really, really hurt. I mean, help. Let's go to Robin, who's hurting. Peabody, Massachusetts, WEZE is the station. Hello, Robin.
Hello.
What's happening in your life today?
Okay, I have my best friend. We've been friends for almost 40 years. And I started a business, and he works for me. And he lives in my house. We don't sleep together or anything. I gave him his own room in my house.
Yeah.
And he calls me his fiance, and that, oh, we're going to get married and all this other stuff. Well, mm-hmm. I just found out he doesn't consider oral sex cheating.
Mm-hmm.
But I found out that he's having oral sex with at least two other women.
Okay.
And my dilemma is more so that I just don't know. It's not going to work out. I am glad that after I've been divorced 5 years, and I'm glad that I have not given myself to him. I will not do that until I get married again.
You know what? It sounds like to me that you have some character that he doesn't have.
Yes,
and that definitely. One of the big problems is that you've moved him in out of convenience.
Well, not convenience. He kind of was homeless.
Well, it's convenient to him.
Oh, yes.
Wouldn't you say?
You know, he promised, you know, he started going to church with me, and then he stopped.
Yeah.
And
so maybe it's time for him to move out, since he really he's not being truthful with you. And.
Yes.
You know, the principal, Robin, he can say, oh, that's not really cheating on you. And it doesn't matter what he says. It matters what you say. Because it's how it's affecting you that matters. And if you say to him, I don't care what you call it, to me, it feels like cheating. You're betraying our friendship, our relationship. And then here are the consequences. Don't get into an argument. This is what young, kids are doing the same thing, saying, oh, but it's not really sex. Well, it is, because it's intimate. And it goes way beyond just, a friendship. It's you're very, you're naked with each other. So there's intimacy in that. So, don't get into an argument on that. Just talk about the fact that this is how it is to me, and that's all that matters, and these are the consequences, and then you spell out the consequences.
Yeah. And, rarely do these situations work out.
No, especially
where the guy's living with the woman, and she's supporting him, and she has these expectations. It just usually...
And he's working for her, so there's got to be some resentment.
Yeah,
there too.
That's right. So maybe it's the better thing would be helping him to have independence from you. That might be the best thing right there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'm going to send you... We've got a wonderful CD. It's called Difficult Conversations. And you've got a difficult conversation with him, and I'll send that to you. Anybody else, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's talk to Jan from St. Louis, Missouri. She listens on the Internet. Hello there, Jan.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Certainly. What's going on with you today?
Well, I get so much help from listening to you advise people. I just need some male advice regarding my 51-year-old son. He just finished his parole after serving time for not paying child support and left town today. He's absolutely mum about where he's going and what he's doing, and just said, see ya, to all his family. So.
Okay. And so how could we help?
Early this morning, I asked him if he was in a hurry to leave, and he said yes. So I didn't detain him or ask any questions. I gave him a card with my blessing, and a few dollars and he walked away. So I'm just really sad and hate that we have no connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't really know. It sounds like he's trying to get away, not from you, but from some other obligations and to get out of the state or something. And my guess is that once he's there, he'll be back in touch with you. Don't you think?
Well, I hope at least, I don't have a lot of hope for him being in touch with me because mm-hmm. we have a history of being very codependent since he was 17 and product of a divorced family. He just has defied every rule there ever was. Okay. And
so your son is a disappointment to you?
Well, I thought I had dealt with that. I think it's more of him just feeling like he's disappointing himself and all that he's
well,
doing.
But he's disappointing you, and you can't control him and get him back on track. And prison can't either, can it?
Nope, nobody can.
Okay, so you have to let him go, and you have to, I think, discover one of the most powerful words in the English language, and it is the word acceptance. You have to accept him as he is for what he is, because it doesn't sound like to me he's on a path to change. You know, when a person's drinking and they get a driving while intoxicated citation, you know, if you're not an alcoholic, you don't drive and drink. It's just such a horrible experience, you know, and go down and you get arrested, all this. You don't drink and drive. But if you're an alcoholic, it's just, you know, it's a minor inconvenience.
He just got caught.
Yeah. And so here is a guy that even going to prison did not wake him up and change his character in the direction he was headed. And so in your case, I just see a need to accept him and accept the reality that the boy that you wanted to be there just isn't there. And the young man and the man isn't there. And it's sad. I wish I had better news for you. But the good news is that when we come to accept the reality of our lives, we can move beyond it. Otherwise, we get stuck over somebody else's problem. And we ruminate over it, and we just focus on it. And it becomes our whole life, this disappointing child that just won't straighten himself out. A lot of times... go ahead, Dave.
Well, I think, you know, what you do, Jan, is you just continue to pray for him. And I remember when we were praying for our son and we had people share some of their stories. They said that, you know, sometimes it didn't happen until after the parents were gone when that kid got their act together. But the prayers of the parents, God was faithful. So you just keep praying for him and don't give up and don't ruminate on it. Just
that's right.
Give him to the Lord.
All right. I'm going to send you walking into walls. I hope that's helpful. Hey, welcome, Tampa, St. Pittsburgh, WTIS 1110 AM. Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest. Particularly my relationship with God, I see Him in a more accurate form and begin to trust Him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
Hey, we're back. Big shout out to Crossway Baptist Church there in Melbourne, and then the Lifeway Center there in Adelaide. You're familiar with them.
Oh yeah, I've been both places.
And I was there last week with my bonus son Carter. We had an amazing time, and it's just so great to go somewhere you don't know these people, and our beliefs are the same. We're all talking about the same stuff. We're mm-hmm. all singing off of the same sheet. I want to read you something. I think it's worth taking a minute to read. It's a wonderful letter. Dear Steve and each of the co-hosts, I'm writing to thank you for your ministry, the way in which each of you respect every caller and listen carefully, including between or beneath the words that are being spoken, models of Jesus in the flesh to me. Your models of... Boy, that's a tough one to live up to. Unlike other shows of this nature, I've heard you take the time that is needed to clarify and hear the caller and help him or her to identify and clarify the foundational problem. Then with that, you give insight to all of us listening and provide wise counsel for them to have an approach that is specific enough for them to be able to choose to move toward healing. I think of the parable of the woman at the well and how Jesus could see her deep need. Then in normal dialogue with her, without rushing or shaming her for her past behaviors, spoke truth to her and gently invited her into a new life. I want to invite each listener who has never sent any donation into this ministry to experience the joy of giving to what I see as God's work. I believe that even if you send in a couple of bucks just from the action of sending it in, I think you will experience a real joy in supporting this work and being part of it. It wouldn't seem rational to have a great sense of joy from sending just $2, but try it and see what God does. God is not restricted to the rational. Like the loaves and the fishes, God can multiply the offering. It's not my background, so I've never felt comfortable thinking in specific terms of spiritual warfare, but this past December, when there was such a need for support in order for New Life to continue, I was praying for the ministry, and for the first time I felt a sense of evil targeting this work because I think the reach of New Life is extensive in its witness. I am so concerned that New Life would not be able to continue. I prayed to God that if any consultation work would come to me in December or January, I would send in at least half of the income to New Life. I was amazed at how much consulting work I was given. It is such a delight knowing that God allowed me to gain that money specifically for New Life. I'm so blessed. May God continue to bless this ministry and each of one of you. And that's from Trish. Now, I got to tell you, a lot of people don't support us because they say, I can't afford it. You'll never afford it if you don't do it. But God says, trust me in this, try me, test me out, and just see if when you give, you don't end up more blessed than before you gave. Maybe not in the form of finances, but it is a life of blessing. We call it the blessed life when you end up in that place of generosity. And I hope that you can end up there and you can support us. You can do that by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We need 4 people to join Club New Life today and every day. And so if God's been working on you, moving you, please give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we would just love to have you part of our giving family. If you need a counselor, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And we will send you to a counselor. We don't charge for the referral or working up the case or anything like that. We used to do a case workup and we'd, you know, charge that. We just don't do that anymore. And we just hope and pray that you will get the counselor that you need. Also, we have 12 tips right here. And this is our tip sheet. If you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE, say, give me the tip sheet, the 12 steps. That's our tip sheet this whole week. And that's why we have Bill Moss in with us, is to remind us that after this program, we're going to do 2 programs on addiction, and they're going to air on Fridays. We're starting a Focus Friday program, and the first 2 will be on addiction. So Here's the tip sheet on 12 steps. You call and ask for that. We'll send it to you free at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And then if you have an addiction problem, you call us or a question about addiction in the next hour or two. And that's 1-800-229-3000. Now, we've had some people that weren't very happy in their relationships. And I just want to go back to a very old-fashioned verse. And it's in the 19th chapter of Matthew. And it says, and he said, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united as one. Since they are no longer two but one, let no one split apart what God has joined together. Now, we just talked to a woman whose husband is off having sex with himself. That is hardly leaving mom and dad and uniting and being one person. That's doing...
It may be a rebellious act against mom and dad.
It sure might be.
It sure isn't cleaving to your wife.
And then we talked to another man whose girlfriend is kind of a representation of his dad. That's an example of not leaving mother and father. We need to do the closure work on mom and dad so that we can start a relationship. Now, you don't ever fully close. You're always impacted and influenced by mom and dad. But you can sure prevent them from destroying your life going forward or preventing you from having this oneness with another person. And so whatever it is to separate us from the parents, let's do that. And whatever is separating us from the people that we love, let's take care of that. You know, the Bible says don't do anything that would cause a brother or sister to stumble. And here's a man that was doing something that's obviously causing his wife to stumble over and over again. And it doesn't have to be that way. When I think about drinking, a lot of people want to use that verse about stumbling to say, well, you just shouldn't drink at all. But whether you should drink it at all, we know that an alcoholic's drinking causes a person to stumble.
Well, you know, you talk about alcoholics and drinking. People don't realize it, Steve. I'm sure that you do and others. But it's a disease.
And what do you mean by that when you say it's a disease?
Well, as Betty Ford put it, I think more aptly than nearly anybody I know, and it's been kicked around a lot, but our bodies are allergic to alcohol. Mm-hmm. And if an alcoholic drinks, your body is allergic to it, then your system cannot assimilate booze
properly.
Or alcohol.
Yeah.
And it causes you to stumble and fall. It causes you to do things that you would not ordinarily do.
Right.
And it does produce failures in your life. The answer, of course, is turning to God.
Yeah.
That's what the 12 steps is all
That's
about.
Right. That is right. Well, I hope and pray that if anything you're doing is causing someone around you to stumble or separating you from them, that you will call us and let us give you some help. We really do want to help you. You know, another reason that alcoholism is called a disease is that it has symptoms, it has a predictable progression, and there's a treatment for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether it's a sin sickness or it's an allergic reaction to alcohol that really very few people have, a small percentage are not able to drink. Or you could say they drink quite well. That's how they're able to drink so very much. If it goes on long enough, the tolerance really gets high. But right now, we're gonna leave this program, and then when at the top of the hour, we'll start a new one. And in that one, we're going to deal with addiction. We'll do 2 hours at 1-800-229-3000. Then later in the afternoon, we're still going to be in the studio, and we'll talk to you about anything. So if you know somebody that needs some help, have them call us later in the afternoon, or you call us at 1-800-229-3000. If you can help us, please do. It's the same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We really do need your help. We haven't been desperate this summer, like every other summer we've ever been through. It's kind of nice not to feel so desperate as a ministry, but we still need your help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thanks, Dave. Thank you, Bill. Thanks all of you who watch and listen. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life.
We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.